Right. So, two, whenever I go to like a doctor or a hospital, I kind of just talk. And yeah. It just comes out. I don't know why.
You get that nervous talk. Yeah, you? I just need to get this off my... Even if you wouldn't normally, yeah. You've got to get it off your chest. When, and do say something. The silence is horrible.
Yeah, when I went to have the ultrasound, really nice Irish guy was doing it. And he was like, do you want me to tell you whenever I find anything? And I was like, well, yeah, I hope you let me know if you find a third testicle down there. And he goes to me, completely deadpan, and let me straighten the eye, and he goes, I'm pretty sure they would have found that on the other doctor would have found that on the examination. I was like, okay, I don't know if this guy's really funny or if he's just not in the mood.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I mean, you're lucky. I went for a CT, as you know, on my brain, and the people on Twitter all know this, 4 weeks ago now. I didn't get the offer of, do you want to know if we found anything or not? I just got told, we're going to take an image of your brain. We're going to inject you with some stuff that might give you an erection and make you feel incredibly hot. Don't worry, you haven't peed yourself. Everyone feels like that. And then your results will come through a GP. I would love to have known if they'd found something.
Well, this was the ultrasound, though, not the CT scan. So the CT scan, they never told me I'd get an erection on the CT scan.
They said there's a
small... I thought I was just a dirty bugger.
No. Oh, no. And there's your 30-second clip that's going on Twitter. No, so it's apparently it's just to do with kind of what the chemical does. The most common one is that you get that hot feeling all over. And apparently there's a lot of people get the feeling of, I've pissed myself.
What she said to me, she was a really nice lady. She's like, now what happens, I'm going to give you this injection of the dye and you're going to feel really warm. You're going to get a really hot flush. You're going to start from the top and it's going to make your way down. Now women, they feel it in their front. Men, they feel it in their bums. And I was like, oh, I said to her, I'm looking forward to this then. And she did, and yeah, like literally within seconds of it being injected to me, hot at the top, hot bum.
Yeah, but you know, I didn't get that. They said, we're not going to tell you when we inject it. We're just going to inject it when we're doing the scan. And I felt it inject, and I didn't get any of that. I didn't get the hot, warm, fuzzy feeling. I didn't get the, you've weed yourself free. I was a little bit disappointed.
Oh, no, yeah. Well, yeah, hot bum. Nurse gave me a hot bum. That was my note.
Oh, I wish they told me that, because I didn't get told about hot bums either.
Should we just get started?
I think we should get started.
Yeah. Welcome to the show where two men still firmly believe we are in the glorious 80s and 90s. Today, I did say we're really going to be doing a bit of dad talk, but I've got rants.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay.
And I've got other things, and yeah, I don't know how much dad talk we're going to be doing, but hello, I'm Rob.
And I am Tom. Right, first of all, on our list, and you will have probably seen this list on Twitter, on Facebook. If you're following us, please go and do that. We'll tell you where to at the end. There were a couple of mistakes I picked up on last week, and I really wanted to cover those, and they're mistakes I made. So number one, I call her Amanda Holler when we were talking about Black Adam. That's the bad, evil person in charge of the super powerful prison. It's Amanda Waller, not Holler.
And I didn't even notice that you said it.
You know, I probably no one did, but I heard it and it's like, that's the wrong name. Why did I say that? So yeah, that was it. When we were talking about the 360 and which Call of Duty game was it that you could download the textures off the disc onto the hard drive to get the better image? Modern Warfare 2.
Did someone correct you on that?
No, it was me. It was Call of Duty Modern Warfare. And let's face it, did you ever call it Call
no,
of Duty?
I
called it Modern Warfare.
Do you mean COD 4?
No, you know what? I don't know.
That was Advanced Warfare. Oh, look, we're going to have corrections in
corrections
the
corrections
section.
But it was definitely Modern Warfare 2. But right. I never called it COD Modern Warfare 2. It was just, to me, it was always Modern Warfare 2. Yeah. It was its own game. But that probably annoys people more. So, and the other one was a quick apology over Dilbert. Yes, absolutely. I love Dilbert and I love the old cartoons. Turns out Scott Adams is a little bit of a racist nowadays.
Oh, is it been cancelled? Has Dilbert been cancelled?
No, he has actually been cancelled by everyone. every single newspaper, his publishing house, and his book people have now removed everything from Scott Adams.
Do I want to know what he said?
I'm not even going to go into it for fear that we're just going to get retribution on there. But let's just say he wasn't a very nice man, and he genuinely wasn't a very nice man.
Oh, he did something. It wasn't something he said. He did something.
Yeah, no, he said something. Okay. And it's honestly, there was no way round it, and I can actually understand the uproar over that one.
Right,
so
okay, right.
He's on his own on that
just
one.
Brush Dilbert under the cover, pretend we never said it.
Yeah, well, if you see half of the cartoons on Twitter at the moment that people have done in the Dilbert style Dilbert hanging himself, it's like, man, this
is it going to be a South Park episode at some point? Is it?
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't. Anyway, they were the mistakes from last week that I picked up on. Obviously, if you picked up on another one, drop us a comment, and we'll apologise for anything really at this point, just to get listeners. But I guess, Rob, you were in charge of this episode. We started it with a dad chat, and now you're telling me it's not quite a dad chat. So go on, tell me what's going on.
It did start as a dad chat, but just things happen, don't they? And I need to vent somewhere. But I can get to my venting later. But I did want to say that one thing, because we did the Three Dads, One Pod, we did quite a few episodes, so we might have covered some of this already. But one thing that I do want to talk about is, why the bloody hell are they always sick?
Oh, good God, yeah.
They're constantly sick.
Yeah. So I feel for you on this one. So T has... See, this is going to get confusing. I have a T. Rob has a T. We're not going to say the names because you know what? You don't need to know the names. Just know that I have a T. Rob has a T. Well, my T, in 17 months of his life, has had chronic tonsillitis 3 times. Mm. We went to the GP the other day. He has to have it 6 times in a year for it to be considered chronic and to have his tonsils out.
In a year?
In a year. 6 times. That is misery. But she completely washed her hands off and said, no, he's a baby. They all get ill. In the space of 3 months, we had cold, tonsillitis, chest infection, cold, hand, foot and mouth, cold, chest infection. There's got to be something else going on. But no, apparently it's absolutely common for a baby that age, especially if he's going to nursery, to get this many illnesses across a short period.
Yeah.
I'm just sat there going, really? Okay, fine. If you don't want to deal with it, I give up. And we just kind of try and keep them healthy. But oh, man, every other week it feels like one kid has something.
My my boss calls it the cursory.
Nice.
Because the amount of absences I've had to take because of looking after him. You know, we take it around and I'll take it in turns when he's off. And then I'll get sick too. I manage to catch everything.
Oh,
absolutely everything that he's got.
It comes into the house and it hits us one at a time. It'll start off with baby T, then maybe Gemma will get it, then I will, then Kay will get it, or maybe it will go from T to K to me to Gemma. There's definitely an order to it, but we will all get it.
Yeah.
No matter what it is, we will all get it. And the worst one we've had is this nasty cold at the moment, which also he had the chronic tonsillitis for. And it just starts off as that sort of cold thing, but it's also a sore throat. It then has sinus pain and headaches, and you just want to sleep all day. And then for the next 3 weeks, you just have a constant running nose. It just doesn't want to go away.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think the worst thing is that the other people will probably hear tea coughing in the background because the monitor's right next to me, but it wrecks their sleep. So even like during the day he's fine and you think he's okay, and then it gets to night time and then that's it and no one gets any sleep. Last night I slept in his room on the sofa with him because I fell asleep on the sofa with him, because keeping him upright to cough.
I'm coughing. Gonna hold my hands up here. I'm not going to say we made a mistake, you know, because actually I'm glad we're doing it. Jem did it with Kay for the first part of her life. So 2 months ago, when he started really kind of getting down and really ill with these various illnesses he's had, we co-slept with him.
Mm.
We pulled him into bed and he slept like a golden child once again. And I know we are incredibly lucky. Up to that point, he'd slept in his cot stroke bed on his own from about 8:30 at night till at least 6 or 7 in the morning. He might wake up 1 or 2 times in the night for a dummy change, but that was it. So we were really lucky, and to have to go back to this felt like this giant step backwards. But you know what? It's not been anywhere near as bad as I thought it would be. Yeah, we bought a double bed for his room, so one of us can sleep in bed with him in that room, and then the other one gets the other bed to themselves. So it's worked, but yeah, the only way while he's been sick is to sleep with him. And that's the only way we've managed to get him to kind of just chill out and sleep again.
Yeah, I'm really against the getting him into bed. So I've, in the past, I'd like last night, I've sat with him.
Yeah.
And been in his room, and he's never slept in our bed. I will not let him, and I won't go in his bed either. Because I think it works for some people, it's working for you. But for me, I feel like if I do it with him and the way he is, it will be, excuse me. It will be, case in point, it will be opening the floodgates to the way that he is, and he gets quite obsessive about stuff. So I think he will instantly be like, daddy bed, daddy bed, daddy bed. And that'll be it all the time.
But that's fair enough. That's exactly what children do, don't they? They grow attached to something so quickly. And it's the same with toys, isn't it? You buy them a new toy and they play with it nonstop for like 2 weeks. And then after that, are you going to play with your toy? What toy?
What toy, yeah.
But when it comes to bed, though, they do not want to give that up. And I know we've made a rod for our own back there, but I like my sleep.
Yeah.
Okay, you want... Problem with the sleeping in the bed, he can be a little bit violent in his sleep. So this happened last Saturday. I was laying in bed. He's next to me. He rolled over onto his right-hand side, and he'd woken up. It was like 6 o'clock in the morning. It's like, please, T, just go back to sleep. Just another half an hour at least. Just give me a little bit more time. And he rolled onto his one side, and I saw he got his dummy out, and he was holding it in his hand with the rubbery bit pointing up. And next thing I know, he's slammed himself onto the other side. So he's rolled over like a cricket bowling the arm over, and he's rolled it over and he's plunged it straight into my eyeball. And it's nice. Like, this is agony. You've actually just tried to gouge my eye out with a dummy, you evil child. I couldn't see for about half an hour out of that eye. It was like, oh, for God's sake, really?
Yeah.
Why would you do this to me? It's absolutely evil. Yeah. But... that's the problem with co-sleeping, I guess. It's going to happen. But no, I feel your pain. I absolutely feel your pain. They are always sick. And I'm blaming wholly school and nursery for that. Nursery, yeah. You can't help but think, are they cleaning properly? I'm sure they are. And it's probably a disservice saying they're not. And then the same at school. It's like, why do they keep bringing? And it's just because, especially nursery, although I say that, and primary school children are just a bad. They don't understand personal space, do they? It's just like, oh, I saw my friend today. Did you? Yeah, I sniffed her hair. why did you sniff her hair, Kay? I wanted to see how it smelled. That's nice, but personal space, learn it. Yeah. And then babies just lick everything.
It's funny you say that, because he's not a cuddler with anyone other than me and Miranda, basically. And he's got some friends at nursery who really are attached to. All of them are like a little clique of boys. And they cuddle and kiss him.
Oh,
and
no.
When I first saw one of them run up to him and try and cut him, he was like, what? He was like, kind of stood up. People were looking at their carols, he was like, eyes like a deer in headlights. Well, what's happening? Why is this other child trying to cuddle me and touch me? This is really weird.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, and still now his friends try and do it to him. He's just not into it.
It's interesting. T's the same. He won't go to very specific. He will go to me, mummy, both nannies. And that really is it. And it's a rare occasion when he'll go up to someone else and put his arms up and go up. It's like, he's chosen you, do it, because you're never going to get that chance again.
Yeah, he won't do it to anybody.
He did it to the doctor.
Oh, really?
We let him running around the doctor's surgery yesterday, and he was having a whale of time. We got called in, put him down on the floor in the doctor's surgery, and he ran up to the doctor and put his arms up. He's like, this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And she ignored it. I was just like, I know you probably have to, but come on.
Yeah, we're at the stage where he will, on the way to grandma and granddad's, he'll start saying everyone's name. He'll say all his cousin's name, auntie and uncle's names, and grandma and granddad's. And then when we get to the house, he goes, toy house, because it's the house with the toys in it.
Nice.
But as soon as he gets in, stopped, done. He won't engage with grandma and granddad in the same way as he's acting like he would.
And just to highlight for everyone, Rob's house does have toys. He is not upsetting his child by not providing him toys.
There are plenty of toys in this house.
It is typical grandparent over-purchasing because it's a grandchild.
There's just toys everywhere at grandparents' houses, aren't there?
Your grandparents brought a sit-on train with track for them.
Well, they had one already, because that was the one they got for my sister when she was little and we played with it. And then, yeah, Dad went onto eBay and found someone. Just by chance, they lived over the road.
No way.
Literally, I'm pointing for everyone who's listening. Over there, at the end of the road. And I went in the van, yeah, picked up two trains. So now there's three.
Awesome.
And a whole load of track.
Oh,
the only problem is
cool.
These new ones are a much smaller battery.
Oh, so they don't last as long.
No, so and not as powerful. So obviously, me and my dad, we went and brought a massive battery. A much higher rated battery. And now it wheelies.
Oh, I'm going to have to see that at some point.
So the kids
amazing.
Love the new trains now. They're much faster.
Oh, you know what? You have to get a TikTok video of that without the kids on it. I'd like to see that. That's amazing.
We've got, I have to do a video. We got, my boss actually was down, you're not meant to do it. But he was at the skip, you know, like a council skip where everyone goes. Well, they just, like a dump.
Yeah, community, council.
Yeah, and in one of them was a giant ride-on train that goes just on the path. And he was like, it looks totally fine. So he took it, gave it to me, and I kind of looked it over, opened it all up, and there's nothing wrong with it. Well, the battery was just dead battery. So I went and brought a new battery, plonked it in, and off it goes.
So disappointing when people get rid of things and they aren't willing to try and fix it. So many of the things at my house I fixed by watching YouTube for half an hour, worked it out, or just tinkered with something until it works again.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying go and do it with high voltage. Not a good idea.
No.
But, you know, things like that, give it a try. Then if you're going to take it to the dump anyway, give it a try.
Or CRT televisions.
Or don't, CRT. Don't do no. You need to know what you're doing with the CRT.
they will explode. So another thing, actually, I wanted to say, I know that you really like Bluey.
I do.
I really like Bluey. T now quite likes Bluey.
You've gone
in and out of it. And I've stolen something from it.
Ooh.
I've started naming games.
Oh, okay.
And that's really working. The most popular one is Mummy Chicken. And that is where Miranda has to chase him and me around whilst being a chicken.
Oh,
and
absolute legend.
Mummy Chicken, yeah. And it's really opened up a lot of stuff. I've got some here. So Mummy Chicken is the main one. Gimme Gimme is another one. And that's where he will take something that's communal or yours, like normally my phone, and he'll go, gimme, gimme. And that means you've got to chase him for it. So you'll have to chase it. And he'll be have like that kind of smile that kids have on their face.
Yeah.
And he'll have like holding it. Or literally you'll be there if you happen to have your phone in hand or anything. And he's in that kind of move. He'll instantly come over and he'll be like, he'll kind of give you a funny little look. And he'll go, gimme, gimme. And he'll take it from you and then leg it. And then you've got to chase him around the house. So,
talking of Bluey and chasing around the house, have you seen the episode Facey Time yet? Muffin steals a... doing the iPhone.
I have seen that recently, actually.
Just
yeah.
One of the best episodes ever. Yeah. It's like, kids, we shouldn't be listening to it. At least put it on mute.
Yeah. I'm trying to find the episode where they dress up as old grannies and they're on pretending to be on a bus.
Oh, on the bus. All I can think of is when they go into the kitchen. Oh, I've slipped on my beans.
The old granny episodes are the best episodes of Bluey.
You know, I am failing to find an episode of Bluey that hasn't worked for me yet. There's so many.
They are.
And
good.
Some of them are really beautiful. The one where Bingo and Bluey go and share the bed with a bandit and it's just, what is it? It's Holst's planets playing and it's Bingo flying through space and it ends up with Bingo in her own bed with her toy rabbit. And it's just the most beautiful episode because it's her flying through space and seeing all the planets and the sun, and it's genuinely just one of those, this shouldn't work as a kid's cartoon, but damn does it work.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that. I mean, he's watched every episode, but obviously we haven't. It's been kind of like one parent's there or whatever, so when we kind of go through the cycling, I'm like, oh, I haven't seen this one, and I'll sit down and I'll actually watch it with him and be interested in it. What's another game? We do Dinosaur Game, which is I have to pretend to be a dinosaur. That's like crouching down a bit, like claws out and chase him around being a dinosaur. And then he'll do it back as well. He'll start pretending to be a dinosaur. And the other one that I just started is the finger worm. Sounds a bit gross.
That just sounds horribly inappropriate.
So it's basically just you're tiggling them. But he's so ticklish, you can just place a finger on his neck and he crumbles to the ground.
Oh,
and that's
right.
The finger worm. So you just have just go chasing him with one finger.
See, I can just see you in the future. Do you remember Liar Liar and the claw?
That is what I used to do, the claw, because of Liar Liar. And it's evolved into, and I thought it might be a bit scary for him being that little.
Yeah, at the moment, maybe. But when he's older, he's going to love that. So T's a little bit too young for it at the moment, for kind of those. So he doesn't, well, he's not even talking yet, granted. So Kay and Jem will chase him around the room going, "We're coming." Yeah. And he just runs like a lunatic up to the sofa and almost nuts it, literally just throws himself. He almost gets some air going sort of jump into the sofa where he considers safe. But then he turns around, giggles, has a look around, and then he goes to the opposite side of the room and just waits for someone to say it again.
Yeah.
And then he does the same charge again.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it comes to Kay, I guess we're a little bit old-fashioned. We've never really had any games that I can think of with her. So we always did hide and seek, or as the house, let's face it, in a smaller house, it's quite hard to do hide and seek because it's just like, unless you let them hide in cupboards, which could just cause all sorts of problems, what do you do? So what we got into was doing hiding a toy. So we'd choose a toy from Kay's collection and we'd say, right, someone's going to hide that around the house. And then that was the hide and seek. So everyone had to see if they could find it. And then that kind of evolved into, there was a picture of me, and I'm not sure why we had it, of me as a wearing my builder's hat and my stuff when I was at one of our building sites for work. So we started blue tacking that to places like the ceiling and stuff around the house, and that would go on for days before we'd hear someone announce found it, and then they'd get to hide it. We don't really have any games for tea with that yet, so I'm looking forward to the point that he can understand it a bit more and he does it.
Naming them, so that's a really good thing, because then he can properly initiate the game.
Well, as you can choose kind of a language they understand. So where if they're not stringing big sentences together, or they can't do the bigger words, if you come up with a name that they can do and it's fun for them to say, boom, happy days.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's awesome. I love that. We are definitely going to have to implement that. Because, yeah, Bluey is a big thing in our house. And definitely. Anything Bluey gets the sign off with me.
Did you have to do World Book Day costumes?
Yes, we did.
What did you do?
Kay was very sensible this year. She decided to be Matilda. It wasn't because of the book. Although she's got the book and she loves the original film, she is obsessed with Matilda the musical, the movie, at the moment.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet. I'd like to.
We've got it on DVD. We'll lend it to you, I'm sure.
Tim Minchin.
Yes, I believe so. But I'm sure Kay will lend it to you. But she's obsessed with it. And she will... don't. You talk about things that kids do to drive you mad. She will get hold of any song she really likes, but she will sing four lines of it, and that's all she will sing. She'll know the whole song, but she will sing four lines from the song at nauseam, non-stop.
Yeah, it's not many things that wind me up. That would wind me up. I'm not somebody who's got particularly good memory, but I've got a very good memory for song lyrics and tunes, and I remember them. So I will sing along to stuff. After only hearing it a few times, I know the words, whereas Miranda doesn't. And she'll, right. I think sometimes she's on purpose to wind me up. She'll purposely say the wrong words. Yeah. So I think if T started going around only singing part songs, I'll be correcting him, as I would to Miranda, correcting him constantly about the actual words of the songs. For God's sake, just get it right.
it literally drives me. I've shouted so many times, not in her face sort of shouting, from across the house, please sing the rest of the song or sing a different song. I do not want to hear We Are Revolting Children 300 times in a row.
Yeah.
I'm done with it now. Sing the whole song would be better than singing just that one bit over and over again.
So for us, World Book Day, they didn't really do it in the nursery for him last year. But this year, I mean, he's 2.5 now, so he was involved. And Miranda brought him a Peter Pan outfit.
Okay.
Very, in principle, very nice and cute. And we thought, we'll wash it the day before. Well,
oh no,
we totally forgot all about it. So it was sat in the wash all night.
Oh,
and then this morning, obviously, we were up at stupid o'clock. I think I was up at like 4:30 this morning. Yep. And it wasn't until 7 o'clock, bearing in mind we had to get him there at 8, we realised we hadn't put it in the dryer yet. So I was there with a hairdryer, blow drying this Peter Pan outfit, stressing out as she's upstairs getting ready, you know, trying to organise him as well. Only to find out as soon as we go put it on, he lost his mind. He didn't want to be Peter Pan. He wanted to be Batman.
that classic book character, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. But you know what? That we were chatting about this earlier at home. World Book Day is a bit of a free-for-all now. I mean, you've got kids turning up, and one of Kay's friends wanted to go as Mario today.
Or, I'm not sure how many books he's been in.
Or a guide. There's no end of children that will go as Elsa from Frozen.
Mm.
And for me, I just kind of think, you know, the costume idea is nice, but if you're not going to enforce people to go for actual books, get rid of it. Make it something fun like a pajama day, but then make the entire day about books. And the idea I came up with was, and it's a lot of work, that's the problem, I understand that, and I know how stressed teachers are, but it would have been a much better thing is if each classroom in the school had a book or an author associated to it, and then just have the children the week before writing facts or bits or drawing pictures about that book, that author, and then have the day of everyone going around each classroom finding out about that specific book or that specific author. And then at the end of the day, I don't know, have a small quiz, all the kids enter it, and then whichever class gets the best score gets house points or whatever ever weird formalised point scheme the school runs for their classroom, and have house points assigned to them, which goes towards the end of year thing for them. That would, at least they're learning about books. In the current day that I see, it's just basically kids wear what they want. Doesn't matter if it's a book or not. Mm. And it's just a matter of, oh, look what I'm wearing.
They didn't have book day, I don't think, when we were at school, did they? Or did
they did at my day? They did at my school, but I don't think all school. It's definitely been adopted more recently. But it's like a couple of weeks ago. Now, the NSPCC, I've not got a problem with the NSPCC. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful organisation. And there was an NSPCC day a few weeks ago where everyone went to wear numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of just to make people then remember that there's the NSPCC number. A very, very, not a very big link between what children were asked to do and the actual number. It would have made more sense to say, decorate yourself with these numbers and they make up the NSPCC. Anyway, doesn't matter. That's what the NSPCC decided. That's what school did. So rather than most parents make an effort, what do you think most kids just immediately took that as a chance to do? They had to wear clothes with a number on it.
That's probably rude.
No, 99% of the boys just wore football shirts.
Oh, yeah. That's...
And I'm not being safe. And not so many girls. But anyone that was a football fan just immediately took it as a chance to show off their football strips they own.
Yeah.
And that there was nothing to do with the NSPCC at that point. It's just like, yeah, look at me. I'm in my favourite football kit. There was no way that that actually benefited that scheme.
What was Jeans for Jeans Day? You could go in wearing jeans.
And that was, blimey, you know what? I'm going to have to look that one up and we'll cover it in a mistake next week.
I don't remember. That's the only one I remember that you'd go in and you'd wear jeans.
Yeah,
that was
it.
You pay a pound, right? And that was it. You could wear jeans.
Yeah, you know what? I am going to look it up. Jeans for Jeans takes place each September when people across the UK make a small donation to wear their jeans to work and school. Supporters are able to register for a free fundraising pack through Genetic Disorders UK. So yeah, it's So I knew it was genetic. I wasn't sure if it was a specific genetic condition they were talking about. No, it's genetic disorders.
Right.
So, but that one vaguely meant that people are wearing jeans and it actually works because you're talking about jeans. Genetics, genes. And as long as schools actually cover why they do, I don't have a problem with any of these days. But it just felt like that NSPCC number one really was just an excuse for kids to wear football shirts. Now, I'm sure the school did a really good assembly about why the number's important, but kids don't take that from that. They're just more interested, oh, we're in our own clothes this week.
Something beeped.
Did something beep?
Yeah, something went boop.
Oh, something booped, and I don't know what it was.
Something went boop, boop.
I have no idea what that was.
So we're staring at you kind of funny. Oh, this is kind of funny.
Now it's doing start recording. Maybe it's got a limit on how much it can record at one time.
Oh, so it won't have caught me going, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, I don't know. It might have. Who knows? So for those of you that are on the podcast and not watching the YouTube version, we have it being recorded on a 360 camera at the moment. So it may be that this doesn't actually go to anyone because it poops.
Yeah.
What's next? What do you want to keep talking
about? I've got one
other
thing to talk about him specifically, other little weird things he does. He learned how to turn the Xbox on. I've told you about this before.
I remember, yeah, because I was sat on the computer and I kept on seeing the Xbox game icon on my laptop go, Flat Rob is online, Flat Rob is offline, online, offline, offline.
Yeah, he's progressed. So now he knows where the Elite controller lives. So he opens the cupboard,
yeah,
unzips the thing, takes it out, holds the button down on the controller, turns the thing on, and he goes, "Daddy, do it." So now he watches me play games that he chooses. Have you played the worst game on Game Pass, the Peppa Pig game?
No, and I've got something about Peppa Pig for you, so you'll like this in a minute.
Oh, God, I hate Peppa Pig so much. It's even worse in computer game form because you can't skip anything.
Oh, no.
And you'll love this because you're going to laugh. We've got every single achievement in it except one. Except one. And the last one is worth 200 points, right?
Right.
And, you know, it shows you now how many people have got the achievements. This is like a rare achievement. You can only get this achievement if you have all the others. Now, the thing about it, which I'm getting frustrated with, is the only way you can get the last one is you have to go to Potato World or something.
Not the butcher.
No, if only. You have to go to Potato World. And the only way you can get there is by an automatic scene of Peppa Pig's parents taking you there, and they'll only take you there if you have done every single thing in the game. There's no checklist other than the achievements. The problem I have is we have three characters because he would insist on being the fox today, the rabbit today, the other coloured rabbit today. And okay. I've done most of it on the black coloured bunny. I don't know what I did on the other ones. So I'm redoing, every time we play, I have to redo every single little thing. And I have no idea if it's activated. But all Peppa Pig wants to do in the stupid game is go see Grandma Pig's stupid chickens in the chicken coop. And then it plays a tune. And then Theo's like, do the tune again, do the tune again. Oh, God, it's...
Oh, right. You know, let me cheer you up a little bit then. Because
they've cancelled Peppa Pig and it's never going to tell you ever again?
No. But this is specially for you. Right. And this was my favourite thing and one of your favourite things. This is ChatGPT.
Oh, yes. I was talking about that today with someone at work.
So I asked it to give me an angry review for Rob to read about why he hates Peppa Pig.
I could give you one anyway.
I know you could. And and straight away, and I've got one for a show that I hate as well.
Would you like me to read it?
Yeah, go on then.
If it's me.
Yeah, go on then. So the first bit isn't actually part of the thing. It just says, as an AI language model, I don't encourage or promote negative emotions. However, I can help you construct a response to explain why someone might not like it. Okay, right. So you're that middle paragraph there.
Okay, so this is me. I mean, the first bit instantly is true. I don't like Peppa Pig, and I don't understand why so many people do. It's just a boring show about a family of pigs doing mundane things. Going to the park or eating lunch. There's no real story or excitement to it. Plus, the animation looked cheap and unappealing to me. The characters are annoying and they have high-pitched voices that make my ears hurt. I'd rather watch something with more action and adventure, like superheroes or dinosaurs. Peppa Pig is just not my cup of tea, and I don't see why everyone else thinks it's so great. I mean, that's pretty close to what I would say about it. It's trash.
I do absolutely love that. My favourite bit of that's got to be, it's just a boring show about a family of pigs doing mundane things.
Yeah. It's just... The real issue with it is she is a little shit.
Well, okay. Have you had to go through Bing yet?
You've told me, well, Bing's horrible, and I don't let it on the television.
Good, because I'm going to read you what ChatGPT told me to say about Bing, and every single bit of this I agree with.
Yeah, go on.
I don't like Bing. And I don't understand why children watch it all the time. It's just a show about a whiny bunny who complains and throws tantrums whenever things don't go his way. It's not entertaining or funny at all. The animation is simplistic and the characters are unappealing. Bing's voice is so annoying and he just repeats the same phrases over and over again. I'd rather watch something with more action and adventure like robots or monsters. Bing is just not my thing and I can't stand it anymore. Yeah. It sounds like I'm about to go and shoot him with a shotgun by the end of it.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. I mean, I've not seen it. We've got a toy that someone brought for us that is like a wooden train. Well, say us, for him. yeah. Like it was
we
for me as well.
We expect you to play
this
with it as well.
This is a joint Christmas present for you and T. And it's got Bing on it. So that's really the only kind of Bing thing we know. And he hasn't. No, I've never said that word around him.
Well, you know what? What ChatGPT came up with is absolutely true about both those shows. But I mean, Bing, there's an episode called Mobile Phone where again, you don't understand the universe of Bing. He is a rabbit. He has a guardian who is about four times his size, as in smaller. And we don't know where his parents are. If he even had parents, was he genetically spawned? No one knows. And it's this entire city of these children being looked after by stuffed animals.
Mm.
It is creepy as fuck. But yeah, there's an episode called Mobile Phone, and this guardian thing called Flop lets him play with his mobile phone, and Bing drops it and smashes the screen. He just goes and puts it in the bin, and then basically Flop comes out and says, "Oh, where's my mobile phone?" And Bing's, "Oh, I've lost it." So he rings it from the house phone, rings it, hears it in the bin, and goes, "Oh dear, what seems to have happened here?" And Bing goes, "I'm sorry, Flop, I broke it." And that's it. No recompense, no... "Well, you're a shit, you're going to have to pay for it." It's just, "Oh, well, next time just tell me, okay? Let's take it to the shop and get a new one." No, I'm sorry, it doesn't work like that. And kids do not need to think that they can go around with their parents' phone and just go, "Oh, I've smashed the screen, it's okay though, we'll just go and buy a new one."
Yeah.
No, because in real life, phones cost money.
Yeah, that's... I don't know why they would think making a show like that is a good idea.
I'll be honest, could be why Bing doesn't have parents.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, see you later, kid.
Yeah, you were dumped, yeah.
But, to Peppa Pig. Oh, Gemma hates it. Absolutely hates it. She hates the voices, she hates the character. She absolutely blames it for everything bad in the world.
We had no involvement with it until he came home from nursery and was obsessed with it. And we're like, "Why? You've never seen this show. It's never been on the telly. I knew it wasn't a good one to have around." And he was going on about it and on about it and on about it and on about it. And until the end where he just had a meltdown. So, fine. And I put it on. And since then, it just opened the floodgates of it. And I can't stand it.
Okay, well, I will give you the benefits of having an older child here, of learning about shows that are better than Peppa Pig that you can move to. Ben and Holly's Tiny Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. Okay, there is so much in it for adults as well as kids. A bit like Bluey. It's not as good as Bluey, but any way. But there are just some absolutely cracking one-liners in it that's just going to make you laugh and just enjoy it so much. I think Alexander Armstrong does the voiceover for it. And there's this brilliant episode. One of them gets stranded on Planet Bong.
Planet Bong.
Yeah, that's Bong, B-O-N-G.
Yeah.
So the King Fairy, the Queen Fairy, and the Chief Elf, or whoever it is, are in a spaceship with the alien going to Planet Bong. And there's a problem. They break down outside. So there's, what is she? She's either a nanny or she's a cook. She's something like that in the fairy household. So she gets out to fix the spaceship, fixes it, and they fly off without her. And they're flying along. And they go, "Oh, no. We've left her behind." And just completely in, and just not even a funny voice or anything, just deadpan, the king just goes, "Oh, well, it was nice knowing her." Just abandons her in space. It's like, that is unbelievably dark, but funny. Oh, so that is one to move him on to. He will probably love that as well. So honestly, try Ben and Holly's Little Kingdom or whatever it's called. It's well worth it. And it gets you away from that pink horror that should be on and pizza and in bacon sandwiches.
Yeah. Talking about getting people onto things, you introduced me to a new podcast, didn't you?
I did. I introduced you to Cheap Show because I went and saw them live last Saturday at Leicester in the Firebug. The latest episode is up. They come out every Friday and they've got the video of the live show as well, which is well worth watching. I love Cheap Show. It's got me through a hell of a lot. It's made me laugh. It's made me just absolutely cry with laughter at points. I've got so much time for those two. So yeah, it's definitely worth getting into and listening to more.
So you sent me three episodes to listen to.
I did.
I've listened to two of them. So yeah. I haven't listened to the third one yet. And I sent you, people will know if they follow you on Twitter, they know my opinions of one of them. And he died in the van.
The one you died on was the Brookside Tiger, which was the first story I sent them from my very mad great uncle.
Have you sent them more?
Oh, there's a few Derek stories on there.
Oh, man.
In fact, I don't even think the Brookside Tiger was the first one, actually. I think, oh, was it?
No, it was. It must be. The way they were talking about it,
it was the first one. Because the next one is called Bone Hoover, the episode. And it's about how Derek went and bought a vacuum cleaner from Egypt.
Okay, and it's called Bone Hoover.
Yeah, and you'll understand why when you listen to the episode. And that one, oh, there's just so many things about Derek I could go into. But you know what? The best way to do it is go and find the Cheap Show podcast and absolutely listen to those episodes. And you'll understand why he was batshit crazy. Yeah. And then you'll find that it's a whole new podcast for you to listen to, as long as you like poo, wee, spunk, farts, general two men shouting at each other and calling each other names, and millions of characters they come up with every week.
I was shocked, not in a bad way, but just kind of, I was a bit shocked that it was something that you would listen to. Mm. But just because of the, I don't know why I thought that, but it's kind of, I think it's more the podcasts that I normally listen to. The most outrageous, I'd say, one is Athletico Mince, which is Bob Mortimer.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That guy's, as you know, is utterly hilarious.
He is an absolute legend.
It's supposed to be about football. It's not really. He just does a lot of impressions
that are
football based. And that one's got a bit of swears and stuff in it. So when I heard this one, and I'm not normally someone that would be listening to that, it's not because I have anything against it. It's just by chance, the podcasts I tend to listen to, like a sciencey one I've just got into Joe Rogan. I know he's not popular by a lot of people. I'm going to get told off on Twitter, but something about some of them I quite like when he has sciencey people on.
Right. Okay.
Some of those are quite like, there's a Rob Brydon.
Yeah, I like
I like interviews. I like, what's his name? Who's the guy who does all the BBC interviews with people? What's his name? He does all the weird weekends.
Oh, Louis Theroux.
Yeah, I like Louis Theroux's stuff when he's got one, the bit on BBC Sounds. So yeah, I was surprised by a lot of the C-bombs was a pleasant surprise. I like a good C-bomb, so that was nice. But yeah, was he your great uncle then?
He was my great uncle, so he was my dad's dad's brother. So my dad's dad had something like six brothers. And if I remember rightly, dad's dad told my dad basically, Uncle Derek is crazy, don't go near him, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, nice. Okay, Dad, thanks for filling me in on family history and made me feel that we loved all our family members. But yeah, his stories were just crazy. But no, I know you did the Don't Get Mad one. Mm-hmm. Sadly, they don't play it anymore, but they did.
Oh, that was so good.
There's a lot of episodes. They did a fair few episodes with it before they retired it. So don't worry, but you can understand by the end of it why they retired it. I'm not going to ruin it for you, but it gets retired and so much more comes in though.
Well, it's just like improv, isn't it? And they just come across as two guys that are very good at improv.
Oh, God. You haven't even heard some of the character episodes yet. So there's some episodes like they do a Christmas Carol sort of episode, mm-hmm. or there's a Die Hard version of episode where basically Paul and Eli are kind of kidnapped and running away from their own characters in a Die Hard-esque sort of film. It's honestly very, very good. You will carry on enjoying it. And everything they do, things like the cheap eats section they do where they get sent food from all around the world, or they found like cheap imitation food in like Aldi, and they taste, can we tell the difference between that and the real thing? Through to Noodle Kitchen, which you'll discover at some point. And then they do board games, and there's just all sorts that go on. It's under my favourites, Price of Shite, which I don't know if you've come across yet in either of those episodes. So the Price of Shite is basically they'll get sent things from a charity shop by people, or they'll buy things in a charity shop, and one of them or both of them have to guess how much the items were from the charity shop.
Okay, yeah. So Bob Mortimer does something similar. He'll go to like Halfords or something like that, and he'll buy five items. Random shit from Halfords, and he'll get the other guy on the podcast to rank them in expense.
Oh, nice.
So it obviously went so much to the cost. The guy doesn't have to guess their exact price, but has to put them in order of the cheapest and the most expensive. Yeah, so that's sort of something. And so I mention it now because I know they do something every week. This is a one-off I want to do with you. I'm not doing it again.
Yeah, no, that's fine. We've never wanted to step on this.
Last time you were here, you had a Monster Energy can.
I did.
I hate energy drinks. I think all of them are vile, apart from Lucozade Sport. When I saw that, I thought, that's disgusting. I can't believe he's drinking that. So, when I went to Bath the other day, and I stopped at a service station, I sent you a photograph, which you could put on Twitter, a wall of energy drinks. I've never seen so many energies in my life.
Oh, wait. You need to come to my local newsagent then, because he has even more.
Okay. Oh, so what I did, I said to you, I'm going to buy the most disgusting looking, cheapo, nasty one I could think of on the list, and I'm going to make you taste it and guess the flavour of it.
Right.
I do actually have two. I have like a store-owned brand one, but I don't need to worry about that one. It's
no, okay.
You can try that one if you want, but I'm going to open the can now.
Yeah,
we're both going to try it. I know I will hate it because I do not like it. They're too sweet, all of them. So you need to close your eyes.
No,
I've
fair
got
enough.
A cool bag.
He's even brought it in a cooler bag, so I don't have to stop recording. This is amazing.
No, I've got it already here. I'm just going to...
I'm just trying to think if I've got something to cover my eyes. I could do a Neil Iask and just pull my shirt over my head. But
show this to the camera.
Yeah, so bear in mind, if we don't put the video up, very sorry, but we'll work out the camera at some point.
Yeah, I'll send a photo or something.
All right, and I've got my eyes closed, so I can't see a thing.
It's not the colour I was expecting.
That's not something I want to hear.
Yeah, that's... Oh, God, it looks disgusting. Okay, all right.
Look, so bear in mind... have you ever watched Ashens on YouTube?
Yes, I love Ashens. Yes.
So you'll know that if you pour it out of a can and there aren't at least globules of floating things, at least it's going to be drinkable and not kill us.
You can look now.
I can look now, can I? Oh, wow. That looks like Red X. For those of you that drive, if anyone drives and they've ever bought Red X, that looks like Red X.
The colour is going to massively shoot you off.
Well, yeah, because straight away I'd be looking at it and I'd be going for a watermelon.
Actually, you know what? Re-looking at it, actually, no, it's not too bad. Yeah, so bottoms up. I know I'm going to hate it. It looks disgusting. It smells disgusting.
Look, if we're doing it in the esque of Cheap Show, you need to do a huff first. You need to take a nice deep breath of it and tell me what it smells like.
God. Well, I know the flavour.
Oh, that's nasty.
It smells... You know what? It smells like unset jelly. Unset raspberry jelly is what it smells like.
It's kind of that jelly set. Yeah, but I'm also kind of getting a almost a tea.
Can I say, actually, talking about huffing, I saw a TikTok today, and a really obnoxious wine connoisseur guy. What are they called? Wannoisseurs.
Twats.
Yeah, what he did, he put it to his ear.
What?
The person poured it in the glass, and he swashed it around, put it to his ear, and then put it back down and went, yeah, that's great. What are you doing?
we've evolved to a world.
Everyone who's watching me now is like this. Yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't a spoof?
He's listening for the
scene.
It's
got to have been a spoof.
No, it didn't look like a spoof. No, not like the other one I want to talk to you about, actually, which I'm convinced is a spoof.
Oh, that's the one you sent earlier. Yeah, well, we'll talk about that in a moment.
Yeah.
Right. Final huff on this. It's not a pleasant smell to me. I'm sorry. It doesn't... There's something off about that. I know what you're saying about the jelly side of things.
It makes me feel sick just even smelling it.
I know what you're saying about the jelly side of things, but that there's almost like a really terrible tea sort of smell coming off it as well to me. I don't know. It could be this cold sticking around, but
no,
well,
like
bottoms
jelly.
Up.
It smells like raspberry jelly.
Oh my God, that's day nurse.
It tastes like a really bad Vimto.
Yes, I can see that. I see what you're saying with the Vimto side of things, but there's...
Okay, I've had two sips. I don't know anymore.
There's an immediate medicinal taste to it.
It's disgusting.
I'm just going to go back and have another one.
Where's my water?
It's not terrible, and I've got an incredibly sweet tooth, bear in mind, so for me, sweetness isn't a problem, but... Trying to place the flavour, though, I couldn't. It was maybe a,
well, you've
a
got three flavours to choose from.
Cherry, is that one?
No.
Watermelon?
Nope.
Good God. Was raspberry one of them?
No.
And it's red.
I mean, the drink's red.
Go on, bring it up. Go on, let's see what the magical flavours of
so
this was.
So it's by a company called Rockstar.
Oh, you see, I've never drunk Rockstar
blueberry
stuff.
Pomegranate acai. There you are.
Okay. Yeah. I can get the blueberry now. Pomegranate I've never eaten, so I wouldn't know. And acai, that could just be a Deep Space Nine character that's just been ground up into the bottle and shaken up, I'm guessing. I wouldn't say it's unpleasant. If that was given to me and it was a matter of You wanted an energy drink, and that's all we've got available. I could drink it.
Sorry, this is really like... it's coming back.
Oh, dear. Rob is really suffering with that one.
Oh, that's so disgusting.
I could probably finish that. I would not put that at the top of my list of choices. Let's put it that way.
So the other one I picked up was Sainsbury's own version Red Bull.
Oh, I know what this is.
Have you had this one?
I've had this before.
Blue Bolt.
Yeah, Blue Bolt. Fun story. I'll tell you a funny story while you pour it. I used to drink the sugar version of Blue Bolt because it was cheap.
Oh, yeah, so this is the no added sugar.
So can of Red Bull was like £1 something, like it always has been. Back in the day when we were working at the Hammers, going back to that one we talked about last week, they used to do a big, maybe, was it a 1 litre bottle? It was either 1 litre or it was like 800ml. It was a weird sized bottle for it. And it was like 80 or 90p for this entire giant bottle of Blue Bolt. Which, when you look at the figures and the stuff on the back, it is the same as Red Bull on most of it. I don't know about the flavour. I couldn't even tell you. I can't remember. But anyway, I chugged one of those bottles at the Hammers that day.
This stuff?
Yeah, Blue Bolt in the big bottle. And I was drinking it all day. And I chugged about half of it down. And I was on the bar. No, I wasn't. Ignore me. Sorry, I wasn't at the bar. I was doing kitchen running. And I'd got two plates of food in my hand. I went over to the people at the furthest point, up the little stair area of the Three Hams. They were sat in the little window bit that now looks over the co-op. I put down the man's dinner. I said, here's your whatever it was. Turned to the woman, put her plate down, and just went right in her face. And it's like, I am so sorry, and that is going to absolutely stink.
Oh,
in the back of my mind,
so
I'm thinking,
gross.
That is unbelievably gross, and it's just going to be Red Bull flavoured at this point.
Oh, that is right.
And that was purely down to Blue Bolt. Good old Sainsbury's Blue Bolt there.
This smells like Red Bull.
It is. It's really not a bad version of Red Bull. It will have that weird yogurty flavour that Red Bull has. It's
yogurty.
I've always thought Red Bull has kind of a yogurty flavour.
This has got bits floating in it.
Nice.
This is a clean glass, then there's bits floating in my one.
Yeah, there's bits floating in mine as well. Thanks,
this
Sainsbury's.
This is a clear glass.
We've got bonus bits.
So, I mean, when Red Bull first come out, you know, we're old enough to remember when the Red Bull
did
this.
Yeah, and it was the vodka Red Bulls.
I did drink it. And I remember the first can I brought cost me 30p. Because the shop that was selling it didn't know what price to put on it. So they were selling them. There's no like a few quid not long after that. And I did used to it, but I get the shakes.
Oh, wow.
Within maybe half an hour of having
so maybe you're caffeine
like
sensitive.
I get... did one of those gene things that you can do, and it says that it takes me like 6 to 9 hours to get caffeine out of my body.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I can drink one of these, and I'll go to sleep in a couple of hours. It's
no,
not a problem.
I get the shakes.
Now, funny, so again, I'm full of stories, and I am very sorry to all of you that I'm...
No, TJ, no. It's like the fizz of it hit me straight away. The aftertaste.
At least it's fizzy. It could be.
Oh, the aftertaste. That's way worse than Red Bull. Sainsbury's, you've done me dirty.
So talking about Red Bull very quickly, and as I said, I apologise for the no end of stories. I'm going to be one of those grandparents that kids don't want to come and see because he's always got a story of something to tell them. But one of the first jobs I remember when I was working for the ambulance company, they used to do, and I think they still do, Cycle into London Day, where they'd have 5 or 6 hub parks around the centre of London. So south, north, east, west, and they'd have parks all around it, kind of greater London areas. And what they'd have is they'd have meet points at the park, and then they'd have roads closed, and you could cycle all the way to the centre of London and back in the day. And it was just one of those cycle events. And we got allocated a park near Barnet and Enfield, I think it was. And we got there, and it must have been one of the first times this event was run, and basically, we had 5 cycle riders turn up to the park for all these roads that were closed. And there were just 5. And the worst part of it was there was a Red Bull car, if you remember them. It was the car that had the giant Red Bull can on the back. And they basically parked next to the ambulance. And they just spent the day talking to us because it's like, we were expecting thousands of people here. And there aren't anyone here. And it's like, yeah, I know. Joined the club. It was a nice, easy day for us. End of the day came. 5 cyclists came back and said goodbye. Yeah. And the Red Bull person was like, well, we've got all these crates of Red Bull and we've got to have got rid of them. So the back of our amps, we had 12 crates of Red Bull. So like 24 cans times 12 in the back of the ambulance. We just said, we've got to get rid of them. If you want them, have them.
They were giving them for free.
Yeah, so we just got these 12 unopened crates of Red Bull in the back of the ambulance.
So I want to rewind a bit when I spoke about TikTok a second ago.
Yeah, go for it.
There's another TikTok. I don't remember if I sent it to you or not. And it was a woman talking about a kid that she looked after. And I might have sent it. I might have linked it to the 2 hour TikTok page, but you can see, obviously it's not for everyone to see, but they were going on about how they can't get hold of people on their mobile phones and what a really good idea it would be.
Yes.
As a family, if you had a family phone, and what's even better about that family phone is one number that everyone can access to, and it stays in the house. And what's even better about that is that this phone is like attached to the wall or a counter, so you can't walk off with it.
And that was the problem for me when I was watching that. It's just like, to start with, it sounded really real, but now she's detailing it in such a way it couldn't be anything but a house phone.
Now, everyone in the chat's going, dude, that's a landline. And she replies to one of them. I started digging deep into it.
Right.
Which is why I still think she's taking the mick, but she's so good at it, I couldn't tell. And then she's like, no. This isn't like what you have at work where you can call between one fixed phone to another phone. Because, you know, fixed phones can do that. You can call
them to
it. She's like, no, this is a phone that can dial in and out. Maybe it can connect to the Wi-Fi and use the internet to make calls. I'm like, oh, she's now talking about VoIP. I mean, come on. It's literally a landline. Just women and these kids have invented a landline.
That's got to be a fake one. It's just got to be fake.
I thought it was fake. It's just she was so good at making it seem like she was that much of a plonker.
You know what? I hope it's fake. Just because I've got rid of a landline. We don't have a landline at home anymore. We moved to Virgin for our broadband and they said, do you want a landline? I thought, well, no, why would we? We've got mobile phones. And if there's a problem on the phone line, we don't have a landline anyway. So... yeah. Let's just stick with mobile phones.
We've got one free Virgin only because it made our account cheaper. They had a deal, so it made it cheaper.
And well, that's fair enough. Ours is fairly cheap anyway for the gigabit, and I'm not going to complain at that. Let's put it that way. But we don't even have a landline anymore. I remember the landline we had at my mum and dad's, this cream plastic rotary dial BT provided phone.
Yeah.
And it had our old number on it. And then the hastily added 8 that everyone had to add to the front of their number in our area. So it became a 6-digit number. And I tell you what, again, another story for you. My dad was so angry at my middle brother for always being on the phone talking to his friends. One evening, he basically walked up to the phone with a pair of scissors and cut the phone line. And just said, get off the bloody phone. I'm sick of hearing it. I'm sick of you being on the phone. And just cut it. Yeah. No thoughts about the fact that now no one can phone us and that's not a repairable thing, so you're going to have to go and buy a new phone.
Yeah, an old friend of mine, his dad did that to the power lead for his Xbox or PlayStation or something.
Please tell me there was a bang.
Well, I think he must have unplugged it then cut it.
Ah, fair enough.
Yeah, but he did the same as the thing and couldn't play on his PlayStation or whatever it was anymore. A bit of a throwback to last week. We were talking about, at one point, we're talking about feeling old because of something someone else said. There's a moment I forgot to mention at the time where Miranda and I felt old together.
Ooh,
as a couple.
Go on, then.
And this was, we went to one of those, you know, Capital FM do those summertime balls and stuff. Have you seen those?
Yeah.
So she took me to one. She'd been to one before, I think. She took me to one. And I was like, oh, it's going to be full of bands or artists I don't like. And to be honest, I did actually enjoy pretty much all of them. I hadn't heard of 90% of them.
Right,
but I'd heard the songs. And everyone's up dancing. I got up a little bit, but I was like, I don't really know the songs. I don't know the artists. I was enjoying it because I like live music. So I wasn't being a complete boring old coot. But it wasn't my genre of music and I didn't know who a lot of them were.
Right.
And then a moment happened. There was a moment where one artist came on and then another artist came on. And it split the entire stadium audience in half. All of a sudden, everyone under a certain age sat down and everyone over a certain age stood up. And it was Sean Paul come on.
Oh, wow.
And I don't class him as being like an old artist, but actually kind of probably is now, like, because all like
that was the early 2000s.
Yeah, because all the like 12 and 13 year olds were like, who's this dude? He sits down, he comes on and he starts doing, Get Dirty was one that he did. That was when I was at college. So I would have been 18 when that kind of, he did that. And he did, what's the other one? I think it's called Temperature or something. There's a really good one that just every mum and dad stood up.
I'll be honest, I find it hard, that sentence, Sean Paul and good.
There's, the thing is, well, yeah, I think he comes with a little bit of a caveat, doesn't he? There's certain things that, you know, he was in a lot of stuff, a bit like Pitbull. Was in a lot of stuff. Yes. You just think, this is trash. Yes. But some of the stuff he did, I know you're not into that kind of music though at all. You're much more into kind of more bands, I think.
You say that, but...
That's what I think you are.
Literally before we came over to do the recording, Jem had a friend over and she said, oh, I watched a really good YouTube video the other day. 100 songs, can you guess it from this 3 seconds of the song we play it? Can you get the artist...
Mm.
I think I got about 70% of them right. And there was some really random ones. And it just shows how eclectic my music taste is, ranging from kind of 50s and 60s to soul to heavy metal to random pop culture stuff. So I'm proud to say I do listen to a whole host of random crap.
And people will find out if they go to the website throughout March.
Absolutely.
Because we are doing a 30-day song challenge in March, aren't we?
Yeah, that's actually going to be good fun. I'm enjoying that because it is good to see your answers as well.
Wait till you see my preteen one. It's embarrassing. I had to go... I'm not going to say what it is because I want you to see it when it comes on. I had to go with what I liked when I was a preteen. Not if I go back and look at the time songs come out.
Yeah.
Because I'll mention one of them. So... Smells Like Teen Spirit come out in the 90s, my pre-teens. I like that now. I did not like it then.
No.
So I can't put that. So that's an example. I put my answer down of what I would have liked at the time, and it's embarrassing, but it's there for the world to see. The other thing I would say about that Summertime Ball, the other artist was Craig David. And I've got to say, whether you like him or not, he is so amazing live. He sounds exactly live as he does recorded on his records. There is no difference. And there's not many people that could do that.
Whether you like him or not, he is actually a very talented artist.
Yeah.
All I can ever think of is, ooh, what's your flavour? And not me shouting smoky bacon and upsetting anyone that likes the song, really. just because I'm an arsehole, to be honest. We have... broken the 1 hour barrier as always, but it doesn't matter, we can still keep going.
Just got one more rant, my last rant to do.
Go on then, one more rant then.
It was, I went to town yesterday and I did my normal route. I go to all of the charity shops. I like looking at the toys and I do my kind of little scout for what retro stuff's been put in.
Yeah.
And I made the mistake of going into CEX.
Oh dear.
I like going in CX because it's almost like you can just see a library of get reminders of the things that you want and you don't actually buy it unless you see one that you just think, well, that's really cheap. But I like to see all of the stuff that they've got and be like, okay, yeah, I'm going to add that to my list because I'm going to look on eBay or keep an eye out for that. That's thanks for the reminder. Because I think they're quite predatory in how much they will take money. They'll give you like a fiver and then sell it for 35
they
quid.
Will look at the eBay pricing and one up it.
it's a bit rough, but what they've done is they've completely removed all of their original Xboxes games. They've completely gone. They had like four. They used to have a massive show of them.
There's more at the
same, taken them
one.
All gone. And then PS2 games, they've got barely any now.
Oh, that's so disappointing, because that was an easy way to pick up 10 games for a tenner.
Yeah.
Pound, let's give them a try.
Yeah. And that's my little bit of a rant for that.
Oh, that's disappointing.
Arses. Just removing it. And then they just like massively upcharge like any cartridge. It's like cartridges are hard to find, particularly working ones, but just you can't expect, no, you're never going to sell that game there at NC4 unboxed for 60 quid. No one is going to buy that.
Yeah, and it's like the NES games that turn up with a £300 price limit on it.
Yeah.
It's not sold, because it's disappeared from the shop. What's happened is they've circulated the stock. Mm. It's been in Hemel Hempstead, let's say, for 3 months. It gets posted off. It'll be in the Croydon store next week. Yeah. It never sells. I'm sorry, I don't believe that they sell any of those unless it really is a true collector's item. Yeah. And even then, I think a lot of people refuse to go to CEX now. There was a huge issue with them a few years back, which they still do, where they put a stupid price on, let's say, a PS2 game that you can't get hold of, and you open it up and you find out that the cover is some cheap, dodgy inkjet print they've done because it didn't come with the cover, but they're still charging as if it's the entirety of the original game. Yeah.
They've got an original box of HeroQuest there.
Okay, yeah.
Selling for £250. They want for it.
No.
Been opened and used. I was looking at it. I sent a photograph. I don't know if I put it into our chat or if I just sent it to Dan. But a guy come up to me while I was taking the photo, and he was like, oh, I've got two of those. And I was like, two of what? And he goes, HeroQuest. I've got one that I use and one I've still got sealed.
Congratulations. And I was like, virgin.
Yeah. And I was just like, and I just went, and he goes, and he was like, you know, and I paid however much for it. And I went, well, you know, I just got the remade version of it for 65 or 70 quid from Amazon, and I'm well more than happy in that.
Yeah, and you know what? Putting that joke aside, I loved playing it. I absolutely loved playing it. That was such a good game we had that night. I've ordered my own random configured hero from a Hero Forge, which will turn up at some point in the next couple of weeks. I absolutely can see why HeroQuest took off and why so many people played it back in the day. Great fun.
As of recording, people can read about it tomorrow.
Saturday, yes,
it
should go
up tomorrow.
So yeah, absolutely go and check that post out. But just, I guess really it didn't turn into a dad chat episode then.
It started a dad chat and then too many things happened throughout the day. the fortnight since we last recorded.
That is absolutely, you know, that's what happens. Now, I'm guessing then, should we come to a close?
Yeah.
And let's talk about what's next week's episode. Now, if you would like to come to Chez TJ, we will have the Arthur episode next week.
Okay, yeah, that'd be cool, yeah.
Okay, so we will record at mine and we will be bringing to you Arthur the Aardvark, the cartoon, and a very, very specific episode, which I think Rob is going to not believe me when I put it on, but I'm going to put on the Amazon Prime one so he knows it's not just somebody doctoring a YouTube footage, because you know it's... It will blow your mind that this exists. Honestly, you will go, I cannot believe this exists. You must be pulling my leg. It does. That's what we're doing next week. So you know what, Rob, it was your episode idea, so I'm going to let you read us out of here. Head over. Go on. Off you go.
So you can find us on Twitter at @channel84. Or me as well, superhero @flatrob on
Twitter.
Yeah,
we are forcing Rob to use Twitter more now.
I've got 10 followers.
Boom. So go on, follow him. If you follow @channel84, follow @flatrob.
I promise I'll post something irrelevant and just funny-ish. Facebook, you can find us on Facebook at the Channel 84 Variety Show. We do post anything that comes on our blogs and the website. Gets pushed there, same onto your Twitter.
Yeah, and we get Instagram onto there, but we haven't quite got that handled yet.
Website is channel84.co.uk, where you can see our blogs, kind of one or two a week at the moment, maybe more, maybe less. Email us, it'd be great to hear from you, podcasts@channel84.co.uk.
And what I forgot to put on there, YouTube channel_84. You can find us on there also. We're pretty much everywhere that you want us to be, or maybe don't want to be, except for behind you in the street in the dark.
Yeah.
Right, well, thank you very much for getting through episode 2. Rob, I'm going to beat you to it. Love you.
Oh, I love you too.
Take it easy, everyone.
Bye.
Bye-bye.